When I was holding her and she was looking at me, and you could just see those eyes, she was so bright and she wasn't fussing. She was real calm. But I was just wondering maybe what she was thinking. Now, I want to try to answer maybe some of the questions that I think she might be thinking, but it's more for us than it is for her at this time. Although back, and she can look back later on as she grows in wisdom and stature as Jesus did, she'll have these memories to figure out, what in the world did they do to me over there at that Bethel church? Alice Lanier Bell, born on December the 17th, 2020, here in Tallahassee. This is a very special day for Alice Lanier Bell. But it may not seem so special to her. Instead, it may seem bewildering and confusing. Now, we can't read that little mind of Alice. If we could, we might hear her asking some really searching questions. If we look closely at Alice, we may even see the questioning look in her eyes. What in the world are you doing to me today? She might be asking. Well, I want to try to answer her question. Of course, I am answering it for us this morning rather than for her, though I hope she may hear the answer someday. After some years have gone by and she is able to understand what we are saying. So I will talk to Alice, but I want you to be the ones who hear as I respond to the question, what are we doing to Alice today? Alice, you have participated in a sacrament this morning, and I know you can't understand now what a sacrament is. You may even have trouble understanding the meaning of that term even later in your life. You see, a sacrament involves pledging and coveting or promising. It's also a sign or a symbol, which means that it is an act which represents more than we can see. Its early usage in the Christian church goes way back, and it's involved in a mystery. And perhaps throughout your life, some mystery will be associated with what we have done to you today. But we hope that as you grow in understanding, there will be a better understanding of what we did today. And it will come to a special meaning in your life for what we have done. And it's a very important day. We have baptized you, Alice, with the rite itself. It's very simple. And we have sprinkled some water on your head and used certain sacred words. But we have done this in a special setting and among people who attend particular for this significant rite. Your baptism is a visible act, but it's also a sign of things which cannot be seen. And that's what I really want to talk about today, Alice. What have we been doing? Listen, and I will try to explain. First, we have placed the mark of God, God's ownership upon your life. It's a ritual that we said those receiving the sacrament are therefore marked as Christian disciples. You see, a Christian disciple is one who belongs to Christ and seeks to follow Christ. Now, there's some people who seem to think that a person has to go to the devil before he or she can come to the Lord. We don't believe that. Because you are God's creation. And we can't look at you without feeling that God has performed a miracle in your very presence here among us today. Just as the early church did, it is possible for you to be able to grasp the meaning. God claimed you as his own, Alice, and we have placed that mark of God's ownership upon you in this service of baptism. And the signs of the water will not last very long, but it will be telling you this often in the months and the years to come. You belong to God, Alice, and we don't want to ever forget that. And the second thing, by your baptism, you have been initiated into the church. Through the Christian history, baptism has been the rite of initiation into the church. You have already been attending church with your parents. You've been coming to church with them for 9 months before you even decided to come out. But now we have said this through this simple act, and we want you to be a part of the church. We believe Christ, too, wants you to be a part of the church. For everything we know about Christ's teaching, the little children are dear to him, and he must surely want them numbered among those who profess to be his disciples. We hope and pray that there will never be a time when you feel that you do not belong to Christ's church. It's not simply that we want you to have a sense of belonging, however. It's an important biblical name for the church, the body of Christ. The church is the continuing visible presence of Christ in the world. The church is supposed to be doing these kinds of things in the world, just as Jesus did many years as he ministered throughout Israel. We want you to be a part of this mission and ministry. So we have brought you to baptism, and now God has incorporated you into the body of Christ. What we have done to you today, Alice? Well, your family has been very much involved in what we have done. Your parents brought you to church this morning for this service, and I am the pastor of this church known as Bethel United Methodist Church, and I had administered the sacrament to you today. And your family and friends surrounded you during this service. But in this service, we have placed you in the context of your larger family. Oh yeah, you belong to the Bell family. That's for sure. And we are all proud of that. But you belong to a much larger family too. You belong to God's family. And in the ritual, we said that we were recognize you as a member of the family of God. And that means, first of all, that you are God's child before you were the child of Joshua and Laura Bell. You were the child of God. That's a magnificent family heritage, and we celebrate it today, and we want you to never forget it. But that means also that you have a vast number of brothers and sisters, cousins, uncles, aunts, grandparents, friends, numerous people that came to witness your baptism in the context of your larger family. We want you to come to realize as you grow that the people of the church and all of the people of other Christian churches throughout the world are your kinfolks. It's a large family, but that means that you have a lot of people to care for you and for whom you may learn to be able to be cared for. That's why we made a covenant with you, just as we made the covenant of baptism for you, for with God. But what are we doing today? Well, we're making decisions for you, that's for sure. And some people would say that that should wait and let you make up your own mind about whether or not you want to be a Christian or even a member of the church. And you will have to make those decisions about that when you're older. You're too young to make those decisions now, but we have some convictions about the direction of your life that it should take. And we're not willing to let that be in limbo for those decisions for 15, 20 years. And I say we because I mean especially your parents, but your larger family, your blood relatives, and your Christian family share this sentiment. Although your parents have made numerous decisions for you as you have come into the world that you were not able to make, and they made it with an attitude of love and grace. No decisions are more vital than decisions about your values, about your spiritual life, and about your moral training and your discipline. And they're not willing to leave these things to chance. So later on, you can reject and repudiate what they have decided for you, if you wish. But now they are saying that they want you always to be a part of Christ's church, to live as God's child, as Christ's disciple. Now, we are committed to working together towards this end. In this act, baptism, we, your parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, your family, everybody that's here today, and people you have never met, have committed ourselves to your spiritual training and nurture. And we want the Bible to become a familiar and beloved book to you. And we want participation in the church to be natural, to be a meaningful part of your life. And we want you to learn to pray, to love, and other people to live unselfishly, to give yourself in service to others. And in this act of baptism, we have committed ourselves to set that kind of example before you today and provide the training and the nurture that will lead you in that direction and help you to have that quality of life. So what are we doing today? Well, let me tell you now about the most important meaning involved in what we have done. In your baptism, we are celebrating God's grace, and it's active in your life and in your behalf. That grace or good will not be a recent development. Many centuries ago, it was expressed very clearly in the life, the death, and the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ, and in your baptism, God's saving action in Christ. Now, some people understand baptism and all the acting of it, and it's part of the person's involvement in the act, and we don't really think that because we believe that God is the primary actor in your baptism. We said in the beginning of the service that baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which grace becomes partakers of his righteousness and heirs of eternal life. So God's grace is the divine goodwill active on our behalf, whether we realize it or not. Alice, you can't recognize God's activity in your heart and life today, at least as far as we know. But we believe that God has already been working in your life and in your behalf. And we call that prevenient grace. God's grace going before you always. It is the grace that goes before. It's the grace that works before we even recognize it. The grace that is always active in our behalf. And we are celebrating the very fact that God is working now in your life even before today. And that God will be acting in goodwill towards you in every moment of your life ahead of you. That's part of what we call the gospel, which is the good news. It's the good news that loves you, Alice. And in time, you'll no doubt do things that displease God. We all do. We are born with free will. In time, you'll no doubt do things that displeases God. But God will always love you and will always be acting in the good of your behalf. That's something to celebrate. And we've celebrated that today in baptism. And we're also claiming God's promises for you. The Bible is a book of promises. God's promise kept, human promises too, often are broken, but God's promise is never broken. So in the service of baptism, we make promises for you, Alice, and later on, you may want to affirm these promises for yourself. But God has made promises to you, promises that he will never break. You can count on God, and in your baptism, we have claimed these promises for you. Historically speaking, baptism has signified forgiveness, cleansing, new life, the never-ceasing presence of God, and all the promises to us. You'll need all these, Alice, in your life. And in the months and the years to come, you will fail God at times. We all have. And will long for the divine forgiveness, which is easily and wonderfully available to you. You will fail then, and you will long for that forgiveness. You will also soil your life somewhere along the way. And we wouldn't want that to happen, but you can be made clean again. You have experience that seems to put death certain parts of you, and you will cry out for new life. You will know that you can't make it on your own alone. The scriptures say it takes two, you and God, and we will pray for the presence of the one who is standing strong, good, and wise. And all of this and more, God has promised. And we had made promises in your behalf today. But more than that, we have claimed God's matchless promise to you. It's a simple thing which we have done but oh, how very important it is. And he can't understand it now, and we can't understand it either at times, but with Christians of every age, we believe that God is acting in your behalf, working in mysterious ways in your life, including your larger family. But what we have done for you, not just for today, it is for all the days of your life. Now, we can't circumscribe the activities that will take place in your life, and we can't limit God's action to a single moment of time. But in this moment and in this time, we have celebrated what God did centuries ago in the event of Jesus Christ and what God is doing now and what God will continue to do for you in all the days of your life. Alice, we believe that all of this is very sacred and precious, and we trust that in time it'll be sacred and precious to you as well.